So we begin a four-week series on prayer. It's appropriate that we do that because Lent is coming up, and Lent is a time when we really ought to focus on prayer. A lot of times we haven't given a tremendous amount of thought to what prayer is and how prayer works and how we're supposed to do all of that. And so I thought it might be interesting to take a look at that and kind of see what prayer is all about. So we begin with the Old Testament scripture. Elijah has just killed all of the prophets of Baal. Are you familiar with this story? So I don't need to go through it, right? So he's just killed all of these prophets. And Jezebel, who is the queen, who was a big fan of Baalism, decides that if he's killed all the prophets, then she's going to kill him. And that's all there is to it. And so Elijah decides that if he's going to survive, he had better take off. And so he heads out into the wilderness, fleeing for his life. And he gets out there, and he begins to think about everything that has been going on. And here he had this wonderful, wonderful display of the power of God. And the Israelites still didn't get it. They still didn't get it. And so he finally says, enough. I'm no better than any of the other prophets who have gone before me. There's no change. There's nothing. All is lost. I might as well just give up and die. So he says to God, take my life. It's the end. And instead, God sends an angel, a messenger to him, and says, now I want you to go on a journey first, but you're going to need some sustenance for that journey. And so God provides some sustenance for that journey. And we are then told that Elijah walks 40 days into the wilderness to Mount Horeb, the mouth of God. And he gets up on the Mount Horeb, and he is in a cave. And there is a huge whirlwind. Wind that we can't even begin to imagine. Wind so powerful that it is actually splitting the rocks. Amazing. There's gigantic firestorm. There's gigantic hailstorm. There's all kinds of commotion and ruckus going on. But we are told that God was not in any. And instead, after all of this tremendous noise and commotion and confusion and chaos, there's silence. And a still, small voice speaks. Because God was in silence. And in that silence, with that still, small voice, God asks Elijah, what is he doing here? And Elijah goes and tells the whole story all over again. And tells about how Israel still doesn't get it, that he feels like he has done nothing. He's completely and totally useless. And what is the point? And God says to him, there is a point. You are not totally useless. You are not the only one left. Instead, I want you to get up, and I want you to go back, and this is what I want you to do. And he outlines the program for him. And then he tells him, and there are still 7,000 that still are faithful. In that silence, Elijah is revived and renewed. He is reminded that God is with him, that God is still active, that God is still in control. Even when the situation looks hopeless, God is still in control. In our lives, there is plenty of noise and confusion. We have to go here, we have to go there, we've got this, we've got here, we've got to prepare for this, we've got somebody coming over, I've got to make a phone call, I've got to go do this, I've got to shop, I've got to all this stuff, and our lives become cluttered with all of this stuff that we have to do. And we think, okay, well, I'm going to squeeze a little prayer time in here, but even in the prayer time, I'm still thinking, oh, I've got to do this, I've got to do that, I've got to do something else. Even in the prayer time at church, our minds wander off. We think, what are we doing for the rest of the afternoon? I've got company coming over, I've got to prepare for this, I haven't done this in my job, I've got to go out shopping, I've got to prepare, I've got to do this, all over the place. God wants us to clear some space. God invites us to take that journey out into the wilderness where we can be away from the noise, the confusion, the anxieties of the day. Where we can just be in God's presence. And we open ourselves then to God. We clear away and open ourselves to God. Because God does speak in a still, small voice. God is not necessarily in all of that noise and confusion that is out there. That noise and confusion has a tendency to distract us, to take us away from the joy of God's presence. That confusion and chaos has a tendency to drown out God's voice. And so we can't hear. God does speak to us. God does want to speak to you. But in order to hear God, we have to push away all of that other stuff that clutters our lives. And create an open space, a quiet space, where we can hear God's voice, distinct from all of the other voices that press in upon us. Jesus met with his disciples. And it's interesting that it doesn't say exactly where. It kind of gives you this idea that someplace out there. But Luke doesn't identify a town, a city, a village, even a mountaintop. It's just a place. And Jesus has often gone off by himself to pray, and I'm sure that the disciples were aware of that. And apparently he has gone off to pray again. But this time, his disciples ask him to teach them how to pray. And Jesus creates the space. And Jesus isn't going to pray about all of these little individual problems that are coming along. Instead, Jesus asks us to pray for some of the larger things. To first of all, give glory to God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come and thy will be done. That it is God whose kingdom we seek. It is God whose will we seek to do. On earth as it is in heaven. To make our earthly existence the same as the heavenly existence. To live into that kingdom of God. We've spoken of this before, the kingdom of God. And Jesus asks us to make a petition for that. Live into the kingdom of God. Give us this day our daily bread. As I told the children, daily bread is more than just having a morsel to eat. Daily bread is what you need in order to live your life. It includes things like housing, clothing, health care, education, all of those kind of things are considered daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For some, that's a difficult one. Forgive us our debts in the same way that we forgive our debtors. What happens if we don't? Or forgive us our debts just as we should forgive our debtors. But you and I are called to have the same kind of forgiveness that God has for us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We ask God to hold us away from those things that are really going to drag us down. Again, that's creating some space. It's pushing that stuff away so that we can focus on being in the presence of God. For thine is the kingdom, power, glory, forever. It's not just for this little moment that we happen to be in the presence of God. It's not just on a Sunday morning, but it is forever. It's in all times, at all places. We seek the kingdom of God. We expect to see the kingdom of God in all times, in all places. Too often we rush through our prayers. We don't really focus on what we need to focus on. We don't really listen for the voice of God. And as a result, prayer time becomes just kind of an empty ritual. Yeah, it's something that we ought to do, and I'm not really getting a whole lot out of it, but when you pray, move all of that stuff out. It may be only for a few minutes a day. There may be times when you need more prayer time than that. Jesus had to escape for a day or two every once in a while. There are times when I like to just get away from it all for a weekend, for a couple of days, and just so that I can focus on what I'm supposed to be doing. So that I can listen to the voice of God. And you may need that time as well. You may need time to just get away. But you can also create that own space in your own time. You can create space anytime during the day. Now it takes practice in order to do that. Prayer is a discipline. It is something that requires practice. Like any other art form or any athletic venture that you might have, it always requires practice. And so the first few times you sit down and really try to clear things out, maybe that's not going to happen to you. Stuff just keeps on popping in anyway. But the more you do it, the better you will get. Until you get to the point where you can just sit down and stuff vanishes. It's gone. And you can be, just be, in the presence . It is a still, small voice that comes to us to reassure us. God loves you. God cares for you. God wants you to do well. Wherever you go, God goes with you. All of these messages come in that still, small voice. And it is that which gives us the power, sometimes even the courage, to move forward in our lives. Prayer is opening ourselves